वंशकपदुभ्यश्च कृपसिन्धुभैश्च पतितनं पावनेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः।
Chapter 11. Krishna has just, in chapter 10, he has just pulled down two great trees known as the Jamalarjun trees. They are twin trees, Arjun, specific type of tree. And Vasa Vigraha told us it is darkish like a tamal tree, but bigger. That's what he said. And Prabhupada explained that the bark or the skin is sometimes used for medicine, for the coronary, for the heart. So then, after Krishna pulled down those two trees, two effulgent persons came out who had been cursed by Narada Muni. A curse. It's hard to call it a curse in one sense, but yet it was. They had been cursed by Narada Muni to remain in the form of trees, conscious of what they had done wrong, but in the form of trees for 100 years of the demigods. And then, by the mercy of Narada, they got to see Lord Krishna. So that curse turned out to be the greatest of benedictions. And that is one point that Srila Prabhupada made in his purport, that the saintly person, whatever he does, is because he's representing the satyam param, the param satyam, the all good, the absolute truth, that everything he does, a saintly person, is also good, all good. So after the trees fell down and the two effulgent personalities circumambulated Krishna, they understood that who Krishna was. They understood, despite the fact that Krishna was acting as if just a little boy, controlled by the love of the residents of Vrindavan, despite that, He is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He is Anadir Adya Govinda Sarvakaranam Karanam Sutre Maniginaiva. What does that mean? Sutre Maniginaiva. Sutra means thread. Mani means pearls. So as pearls are strung on a thread in a necklace, and as one is not aware of that thread, but yet the thread is holding the necklace together. Again, although one may not see the thread, it is nevertheless the thread that is holding the necklace together. So similarly, one who doesn't have any knowledge doesn't see Krishna when he views the material world. But it is actually Krishna, Mama Angsa Teja Sambhava. With just a fragment of his, of a portion, a kala angsa, that's the expansion of his expansion of his expansion. The entire universe, in fact, all the different universes are resting upon him. So this boy, who is not a boy, but the Supreme Personality of Godhead, he is tied up to the grinding mortar of in the courtyard of Nanda Maharaj. So one naturally asks, how is it possible to tie up the unlimited Supreme Lord? And the answer is that the love of the devotees, such as Madhya Yasoda, they make the Lord submissive, they make Krishna submissive to their prema, to their love. Their love is so powerful. And this is really the essence of the teachings of Krishna consciousness, that we must learn that life's purpose is to learn to love Krishna. This is the purpose of human life. Human life is a facility to gain this most wonderful thing, prema pamarto mahan, that which is Dolabam Manusha Janma Tarapadruva Martadam. It is the rarest thing. It is that which can be gained, which should be, can be gained, and should be gained with our life. And what else is there that is truly worth gaining? We can gain. One time, there's this one. Did you ever go to Bogilal Patel's house? What, did you ever go in Bombay? No. He was a very wealthy man. Did you ever go? No. And his son Pranilal, I think, or something like that. Panilal. His hobby was collecting Rolls Royces, and he had over 60 of them. So one may collect Rolls Royces, or one may collect houses, or educational titles, or whatever. But what is really ours, and what is really worthwhile, and what will we keep when it is time to leave this world? Really, it is only whatever spiritual advancement that we have made. So we should keep that in the forefront of our consciousness. We should live our life looking at the fourfold miseries before us, our birth, death, old age, and disease, that these miseries, we should see them before us. They're everywhere around us, and we tend not to wish to see them. Because why? Because we don't want to see them, because they will ruin the illusory accumulations that we are trying to make. But yet, we should see them. We should see them because they are real, and real things have a way of forcing their way through illusory things. Real things are real, and therefore they will force their way into our consciousness. They will demand attention just simply because this is reality. So on the material level, birth, death, old age, disease is reality. On the spiritual level, Nahanyate hanyamane sharire, that the soul, we never die. We never die when the body dies. But whether we see on the material level or we see on the spiritual level depends on what we cultivate in our life. If we cultivate material consciousness, which basically means enjoying spirit, then we'll see matter, and then we are bound to incredible disappointment as reality forces its way. And if we, on the other hand, cultivate spiritual knowledge, and by the grace of Guru and Krishna, grace of Srila Prabhupada, by the grace of Gaur Nitai, grace of the holy names, Srimad Bhagavatam, if we can develop some actual affection, attraction for Krishna, we are very fortunate. That is the proof. That is the great fortune. So Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. I'll just read the verse. This is the first verse. We'll read just the English here. Sukadeva Goswami continued. He continued narrating the pastime. O Maharaj Prikit, when the Jamal Arjun trees fell, all the cowherd men in the neighborhood, hearing the fierce sound and fearing thunderbolts, went to the spot. There they saw the fallen Jamal Arjuna trees on the ground, but they were bewildered, because even though they could directly perceive that the trees had fallen, they could not trace out the cause for their having done so. Purport. Considering all the circumstances, had this been done by Krishna? Because Krishna was there, just a little boy, perhaps 4 years old, tied with a rope to a grinding mortar by Mother Yasoda, and the trees had fallen down right by him. Of course, he pulled them down. But how could a little boy pull down these huge trees? a little child, a baby. Of course, this specific baby is unlimited. There's no beginning or end to Krishna's form, although the rope of Mother Yasoda circumscribed it. There is no beginning or end to Krishna's power. He is unlimitedly powerful. We read that term describing Krishna's power. He is unlimitedly powerful. Try to understand what that means, to be unlimitedly powerful. We cannot actually understand what unlimited power means. Unlimited capacity. Unlimited. So with just a little bit of Krishna's strength, he pulled down these trees, even though his form on a superficial level appeared, how could a little baby do that? But Krishna was very easy. So had Krishna actually done this, or were these merely stories? This was a cause of bewilderment of his playmates. He was standing on the spot and his playmates described that this has been done by him, by Krishna. The little boys who were there, oh, how did these trees fall down? Oh, Krishna pulled them down. How could this be possible, they were thinking. Krishna was bound by the rope to the uluka, the mortar, which he was dragging. But how could he have pulled down the trees? Who had actually done it? Where was the source for this incident? Considering all these astounding things, the cowherd men were doubtful and bewildered. Purport. The cowherd men were very much agitated because the child Krishna, after all, had been standing between the two trees. And if by chance the trees had fallen upon him, he would have been smashed. But he was standing as he was, and still the things had happened. So who could have done all this? How could these events have happened in such a wonderful way? These considerations were some of the reasons they were agitated. The cowherd men were agitated and bewildered. They thought, however, that by chance Krishna had been saved by God, so that nothing had happened to him. Krishna Chakravarti Thakur has a comment on this text. I shall try my best to find it. Very simple comment. Here's three, thank you. That the cowherd men of Braja understood that Krishna had caused the Jamal Arjuna trees to fall. But because of prema, what does prema mean? Because of their love for Krishna, they could not think that it was so. They doubted that such a small boy could do such a thing. They expressed their doubt in these verses. Who has done this? Why has this amazing incident happened to this boy? It is our good fortune that Lord Narayan has protected him. Thinking in this way, the cowherd men were filled with anxiety. This is only due to their love for Krishna. Due to their love for Krishna, even though Krishna is the original Narayan, they could not conceive of that, because their love for Krishna would be limited if that was dominant in their consciousness, that he's the Supreme Personality of Godhead. It would have been filled by awe and reverence. So therefore, their prema, their love, made that knowledge appear to be insignificant. Just like the mother of the Prime Minister, she knows that the Prime Minister is her son, or rather that her son is the Prime Minister, but what's dominant in her mind is her relationship with him as her son, even though she knows the other thing. But Mother Yasoda's love is so strong, and Nanda Maharaj's love is so strong, and the cowherd men's love is so strong, they cannot, when it comes to thinking, oh, Krishna is all powerful, he pulled down the trees, no, they cannot conceive of it. How could this be? Our beloved little boy Krishna, he is so delicate. His fingers are so soft and delicate, like petals of lotus flowers. His eyes are so delicate. How could he have pulled down these huge trees? But the boys, little boys, were saying, we saw it with our own eyes. Thinking in this way, the cowherd men were filled with anxiety. How could this have happened? Text 4. Then all the cowherd boys said, it is Krishna who has done this. When he was between the two trees, the mortar fell crosswise, and Krishna dragged the mortar and the two trees fell down. After that, two beautiful men came out of the trees. We have seen this with our own eyes. Purport. Krishna's playmates wanted to inform Krishna's father of the exact situation by explaining that not only did the trees break, but out of the broken trees came two beautiful men, effulgent men. All these things happened, they said. We have seen them with our own eyes. And the cowherd men were thinking, yes, yes. Little boys, yeah, making up such nice little stories. Okay, go and play now. But yet, they had no reason. They couldn't conceive of any reason why the trees had fallen. Here's text 5. Because of intense paternal affection, the cowherd men, headed by Nanda, could not believe that Krishna could have uprooted the trees in such a wonderful way. Therefore, they could not put their faith in the words of the boys. Some of the men, however, were in doubt. Since Krishna was predicted to equal Narayan, they thought it might be that he could have done it. Here's Prabhupada's purport. One view was that it was impossible for a small boy like this to have done such a thing as pulling down the trees, and they were huge trees. But there were doubts because Krishna had been predicted to equal Narayan. Therefore, the cowherd men were in a dilemma. What could have happened? And again, there wasn't an alternative reason that they could have considered how the trees have fallen. Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur says to text 5, Nanda and the cowherd men did not believe the children because their feelings for Krishna would not allow them to think that Krishna was omnipotent. Some of the men, however, remembered Garga Muni's prediction about Krishna being equal to Narayan. Though full of affection for Krishna, they became uncertain and thought maybe he did it. Text 6. When Nanda Maharaj saw his own son bound with ropes to the wooden mortar and dragging it, he smiled and released Krishna from his bonds. Purport. Nanda Maharaj was surprised that Yasoda, Krishna's mother, could have bound her beloved child in such a way. Krishna was exchanging love with her. How then could she have been so cruel as to bind him to the wooden mortar? How was Krishna exchanging love with her that caused Mother Yasoda to do that?
Naughty.
He was naughty. What was he doing?
He was stealing
butter. He was breaking the pots of butter and feeding the butter to the monkeys. And this was just to increase the motherly affection. So naughty though. But to increase the affectionate ecstasy of Mother Yasoda. So Nanda was thinking, he was just being a loving son. How could she have done this cruel thing to our little boy? Nanda Maharaj understood this exchange of love, and therefore he smiled and released Krishna. So he untied Krishna. In other words, as Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, binds a living entity in fruit of activities, he binds Mother Yasoda and Nanda Maharaj in parental affection. This is his pastime. So we are tiny by nature. No one really can think themselves big or powerful or influential. How could it be? Even the most powerful and influential people of this world, they are completely bound up, if not by other powerful people in this world, but by the laws of nature. Be one the president of a country, and then one gets some dreaded disease that stops one's brain from working. How are we significant? We cannot stop our bodies from aging. We cannot stop our dearest beloved's body from aging. Significant means that one has power. Insignificant means inconsequential. Of all the people who were alive on this world 200 years ago, how many people does everyone in the world know or remember even? There's probably one or two or three or four. There is, in a particular country, we may remember some very powerful people who lived 200 years ago or 300 years ago, or in an old culture maybe 500 years ago. But 10,000 years ago, most likely in a few hundred years, no one will even know that any of us existed. We will be forgotten. How does that make you feel?
Good.
Good. Very good, because that's what's going to happen. How does that make you feel?
Insignificant.
No one will even know. No one will even care. I had this big, big problem. It was the most crucial thing of my whole life. So big, and I got so angry, this and that. And no one will even know. No one will even, and even if they find some letter somewhere, this thing, amazing thing happened to me, it was so terrible. No one will even care. Insignificant. We want to be big, but we can't be. We want to do something substantial, but it is impossible. Practically speaking, we are insignificant. So insignificant souls have to be bound, tied up. So our choice, in fact, is who is going to tie us. Are we going to be tied up by Krishna, controlled by Krishna, relationship with Krishna, love for Krishna? Are we going to be tied up, bound up by karma, by the laws of material nature? So these are the choices we have to make. We're going to be bound up. But what will Maya give us? It's like being bound up by the enemy. And they'll do what? What will the enemy do after they bind you up? And after that? And then? They cut off your head. But your friend, if he ties you up, what does he do?
Tickle you.
He'll tickle you, right? Something like that. Something on that level, that's the difference. So let us get tied up by Krishna. But we don't like to be tied up by anyone. We want to be free. We want to be independent. We want to tie up others. In fact, we want to be the one who's the one tying everyone up. But we're tiny and insignificant. It's very hard for us to accept this. Very hard, very hard. Why? Ahankara vamudatma kartaham iti manyate. This is Krishna's pastime when he is bound up by Mother Yasoda. He's the one who is significant, and yet he gets bound up too by the love of his devotees. Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur's comment to 6. Glancing repeatedly over all of Krishna's limbs, Nanda Maharaj smiled as he thought, "Your mother, whose lap you prefer to mine, has bound you up because of some small offense. Therefore, how can I release you? As you bind the living entities with illusion, you bind your mother and father with praying. So let us agree to get bound by love for Krishna. Let us pray for this. Let us desire this. By nature, we have to desire. It is the nature of the soul. You must desire. We should desire on this side, on the spiritual side, and not increase our desires on the material side. And then we'll see how Krishna reciprocates. This is what's described in the 15th chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, that the banyan tree, the reflection of the banyan tree, the aswata brika, the reflection of the aswata tree, the banyan tree, is situated on water, just like our situation in the material world is situated on desire. Our desires, our situation is situated on our, we are situated because of our desire. How does that make you feel? And guilty as charged, Your Honor. Guilty as charged. Off with his head. But I'll be good from now on. I'll try my best to be good. Text 7. When Nanda Maharaj, the gopis, so he released Krishna. The gopis would say, now continuing with other Krishna's other childhood little boyish pastimes, the gopis would say, if you dance, my dear Krishna, then I shall give you half a sweetmeat. Krishna, of course, is the omnipotent, all-powerful, supreme personality of Godhead, and he's going to dance when the gopis offer him half a sweetmeat. By saying these words or by clapping their hands, all the gopis encouraged Krishna in different ways. At such times, although he was the supremely powerful personality of Godhead, he would smile and dance according to their desire, as if he were a wooden doll in their hands. What's a wooden doll? Bangla, it is Kakputli. Kakputli. And putunach, dancing doll, putunach. That is Bengali too, yeah, same. Putunach, means just a dance, a marionette. So as the strings are pulled, then the marionette, he has to move. So when the devotees play with Krishna in this loving way, Krishna has to move. This is incredible. He's immovable. He can't be caught. He can't be moved because he is the all-powerful. But yet, when his devotees want something from him, to play with him in some way, he can't resist them. So he would dance according to their desire, as if he were a wooden doll in their hands. Sometimes he would sing very loudly at their bidding. In this way, Krishna came completely under the control of the gopis. So Krishna is controlled. So texts 7 through 9 describe how Krishna is controlled by his devotees' love. I'll read the next two verses in Prabhupada's purport, then we'll read Vishwanath's comment on these. Sometimes Mother Yasoda and her gopi friends would tell Krishna, bring this article or bring that article. Sometimes they would order him to bring a wooden plank, wooden shoes, or a wooden measuring pot. And Krishna, when thus ordered by the mothers, would try to bring them. Sometimes, however, as if unable to raise these things, he would touch them and stand there. Just to invite the pleasure of his relatives, he would strike his body with his arms to show that he had sufficient strength. So, the residents of Vrindavan, what gives life to these pastimes, these activities, is the love of Krishna possessed by the residents of Vrindavan. Because any little boy, there are so many little boys, their mother wants them to clap. Little children, sometimes the children, when the children are very, very, very little, like babies, the parents, they throw the children up in the air. And what do the children do? They laugh and laugh and laugh. So the parent gets pleasure out of that, and out of the child's pleasure. So in this way, the parents, they play with children in this world even. So if you see parents or adults playing with children, it doesn't touch the heart. If it's just somebody else's children. But because of love that the parents feel, the relatives feel, the friends feel, that every little activity there is rasa exchange, there is a sweet taste exchange in the activity due to the love. So in Sanskrit, the more or less the activating principle of rasa is staibhav, steady ecstasy, as Prabhupada translates it. The particular mood in which the devotee loves Krishna. So without staibhav, without some love for Krishna, then the pastimes, they don't touch the heart very deeply. But once there is love, when one has some love for Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and he's playing, it is astounding. The gopis are calling him, making him dance. The all-powerful one, where millions and millions of people in this world are bowing to God and praying to God. And the gopis are saying, if we give you a half a sweetmeat, you'll dance, yes? And he dances. This is the power of love. This is that which is to be aspired for in life. Prema Pamarto Mahan. And the great exalted devotees, they can sit and chant Hare Krishna hour after hour after hour after hour after hour. Haridas Thakur, practically 24 hours a day he would chant. The Goswamis would chant 120 rounds a day. We may even struggle through 16 rounds. Am I finished my rounds yet? How much more does it go on? We hear about Krishna, how many more, we look at the clock, how many more seconds are left? Not that we don't like it, but we perhaps lack the intensity of love that the exalted Vaishnavas have. So when the love is there, how is it possible to chant Hare Krishna for 24 hours a day as did Thakur Haridas? It is possible because it was alive, the holy names were alive for him. It's possible for the Goswamis to be satisfied talking Krishna Katha hour after hour after hour because the pastimes, the activities of Krishna are alive. They come alive. Satam prasangam mamavirya sambhido. They are full of power. Krishna is there. So in this world, we have a tendency to lament. What was the last thing you lamented about? Maybe I shouldn't bring it up.
Various wrong news.
Okay. We lament this happens and that happens. But this is the real thing to lament. Manusha janama paya radha krishna nava jiya. Janiya Shunya Bhisha Kainu. That I've taken this human birth, but I have no love for Radha and Krishna. I have not served them with devotion. That is really lamentable. And why? Because my heart is as hard as a rock. And why is my heart as hard as a rock? Because of what? Material desires, offenses, taste for the impermanent, lack of spiritual understanding. And instead of removing these things, or working hard, or prayerfully trying, making our attempt and depending on Krishna, we just go merrily, 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 merrily. Life is just as if it's going to go on forever. Yes, yes. I've gotten through this day, played around, did this, did that. But where have I taken steps forward to Krishna today? But this, yep, just merrily. Yep, another day gone. But we don't notice that we get another day gone means another day older, another day closer to death, which is not. But we don't think it. We don't see it like that because we don't. Because we see the body every day, and the continuum of the change is so minute. But if you don't see someone for 10 or 15 years. Or 5 years even, when they're starting to get older. It's always a shock. Yes, a little awkward at first. Yes, you've aged. Actually, I haven't aged, but my body has aged. But merrily, 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 I go on. But we have something to lament over. But it takes so much sincerity of purpose to lament over the fact that we have no love for Krishna. But that is a sure way to gain love for Krishna, to chant in the mood of lamenting that I have no love for Krishna. If we lose $100, we'll lament like anything. What to speak of $200 or $300. Or whatever, but no love for Krishna, anyway. So, Krishna would strike his body with his arms to show that he had sufficient strength. To pure devotees throughout the world who could understand his activities, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna, exhibited how much he can be subdued by his devotees, his servants. In this way, he increased the pleasure of the Brijbasis by his childhood activities. Prabhupada's short purport. That Krishna performed childhood activities to increase the pleasure of his devotees was another transcendental humor. He exhibited these activities not only to the inhabitants of Brajabhumi, but also to others who are captivated by his external potency and opulence. Both the internal devotees who are simply absorbed in love for Krishna and the external devotees who are captivated by his unlimited potency were informed of Krishna's desire to be submissive to his servants. So the external devotees are Lord Shiva, Narada Muni, who are watching, also Brahma, who will watch these pastimes. So external devotees means they weren't on the inside of the lila of the pastimes. They were just watching how amazing it was that this all-powerful, they were aware of Krishna's power, and they were watching in amazement how Krishna is being subdued by the intimacy of the powerful love of the residents of Vrindavan. How is it that this... Because they're aware that universes come from his skin holes, that he's all-powerful. And they're watching these activities. Here's Vishnu's Chakravarti Thakur's comment. I'll read that one to 10 first because it's relevant on just what we were speaking of. Excuse me, to 9. And then we'll read the other two prior to that. Not only Krishna's relatives, but all the Brijbasis enjoyed unlimited bliss from his childhood pastimes. wherein he allowed himself to come under their control. Krishna showed this aspect of himself being controlled by his devotees' love directly to those external devotees like Brahma and Shiva, who are captivated by Krishna's potency of majestic opulence because it cannot be understood merely by explanations. Krishna is controlled by the love of his devotees. Therefore, we should become lovers of Krishna. Not so that we can control Krishna, but just in that way, by hearing of these pastimes, we get a glimpse, an idea of how powerful love for Krishna is. It is even more powerful than Krishna. It subdues him, it controls him. So it is very common on the New Age circuit and the Advaita Gyan circuit that people want to become God. But this is something even better than that. Become someone who can subdue God. Become a lover of Krishna, a loving servant of Krishna. Very rare that someone will sincerely make that attempt. Very, very, very rare. Who's that focused, who's that serious. Very rare in this world. So we're hearing about this so that we can get the correct understanding of what life's purpose is. And if we are very fortunate, we'll get a taste for these very sweet and intimate dealings between Krishna and his most selfless devotees who aren't interested in controlling him or becoming more powerful than God. They're interested in serving him with the greatest of love in very specific ways. No matter what it appears, they have only one interest, and that is to give Krishna pleasure. This is the secret of Vrindavan. No matter what is going on externally, what is going on in the consciousness of the devotees is that they want to give Krishna pleasure. They may be dressing themselves, they may be cooking, they may be herding the cows, they may be counting the cows, they may be chastising Krishna, they may be asking Krishna to dance, but really only one thing is going on. And that is, how can I please Krishna? How can I make him happy? How could I serve Krishna? This is all that's going on. But each of those individuals have a specific mood of love by which they express their serving, their desire to please him. So we'll read 8 and 9 now. Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur's comments. In order to test Krishna's strength, the gopis would ask him to bring wooden shoes and then progressively heavier objects. Ordered by the gopis, Krishna would stand up holding the objects over his soft belly, because he's only 3-4 years old, to invite the pleasure of his relatives. Krishna would sometimes slap his arms to show that he had sufficient strength. Not only Krishna's relatives, but all the Brijbasis enjoyed unlimited bliss from Krishna's childhood pastimes, wherein he allowed himself to come under their control. Krishna showed this aspect of himself being controlled by his devotees' love directly to those external devotees like Brahma and Shiva, who are captivated by Krishna's potency of majestic opulence because it cannot be understood merely by explanations. And here's the one I missed. Who can describe the good fortune of Krishna's father and mother? Though Krishna is the controller of Brahma, Shiva, and millions of demigods, he is controlled at every step by the inhabitants of Braja. This is described in 3.5 verses. The gopis would say, "If you dance, my dear Krishna, I will give you a sweet." Induced by the gopis, Krishna sometimes danced just like a human child, Overwhelmed by the gopi's sweet love, Krishna would conceal his omnipotence and smile and dance just like a wooden doll in their hands. Text 10. Once a woman selling fruit was calling, "O inhabitants of Brajabhumi, if you want to purchase some fruit, come here." Upon hearing this, Krishna immediately took some grains and went to barter as if he needed some fruit. Purport. Aborigines generally go to the villagers to sell fruits. How much the aborigines were attached to Krishna is described here. So everyone, regardless of one's position, this is what it means, that Krishna is all attractive. It means that everyone who comes in contact with Krishna, unless they're Pashugna, what does that mean? Pashugna, killer of animals and killer of the self. Unless the consciousness is very, very, very covered, extremely covered due to sinful activities, everyone will be attracted to Krishna because he's all attractive. Regardless of one's position in this world at this time. So how much the aborigines were attached to Krishna is described here. Krishna, to show his favor to the aborigines, would immediately go purchase fruits, bartering with paddy in his hands, as he had seen others do. Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur's comment. Krishna bestowed his blessings upon all the residents of Vrindavan, including the Pulindas, who were aborigines, or the lowest class amongst the Vrijbasis. Achyuta is full in every respect, and he himself provides fruits for everyone. Yet desiring some fruits, he quickly went out with a handful of grains, as only that was available at the moment. Text 11. While Krishna was going to the fruit vendor very hastily, most of the grains he was holding fell. Nonetheless, the fruit vendor filled Krishna's hands with fruits, and her fruit basket was immediately filled with gold and jewels. Prabhupada's purport. In Bhagavad Gita 9:26, Krishna says, Patram pushpam palam toyam yome bhakta parachati taraham bhaktyuparitam. Krishna is so kind that if anyone offers him a leaf, a fruit, a flower, or some water, he will immediately accept it. The only condition is that these things should be offered with bhakti. Yome bhaktya parachati. Otherwise, if one is puffed up with false prestige, thinking, I have so much opulence, and I am giving something to Krishna, or rather, and I am giving something to Krishna. If one is puffed up with false prestige, thinking, I have so much opulence, and I am giving something to Krishna, one's offering will not be accepted by Krishna. The fruit vendor, although a woman belonging to the poor aborigine class, dealt with Krishna with great affection, saying, Krishna, you have come to me to take some fruit in exchange for grains. All the grains have fallen. They all fell through his hand. But still, you may take whatever you like. Thus she filled Krishna's palms with whatever fruits he could carry. In exchange, Krishna filled a whole basket with jewels and gold. From this incident, one should learn that for anything offered to Krishna with love and affection, Krishna can reciprocate many millions of times. This is wonderful. Where did you get that? That's the best I've heard yet. That's much better than jingle bells, jingle bells, dun, 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 dun. What is that? Is that your mobile phone?
Yeah.
And I knew it was a cow. I've never heard that. That's wonderful. I might get a mobile phone just for that. The From this incident, one should learn that for anything offered to Krishna with love and affection, Krishna can reciprocate many millions of times over, both materially and spiritually. Sahasra, your mobile phone has cow? Peacock. Could you call him? In a few moments, we want to hear. It's all, you turn it on in a few moments, and then the, then we'll hear. Then you call him, and we'll hear the cows, and we'll feel like we're in Braja. The basic principle involved is an exchange of love. Therefore, Krishna teaches in Bhagavad Gita, yat karosi rasnasi, yat johosi dadati yat, yat tapasyasi kante yat, tat karusva marapuram. O son of Kunti, all that you do, all that you eat, all that you offer and give away, as well as all austerities that you may perform, should be done as an offering to me. With love and affection, one should try to give something to Krishna from one's source of income. Then one's life will be successful. Krishna is full in all opulences. He does not need anything from anyone. But if one is prepared to give something to Krishna, that is for one's own benefit. The example given in this connection is that when one's real face is decorated, the reflection of one's face is automatically decorated. Similarly, if we try to serve Krishna with all our opulences, we as parts and parcels or reflections of Krishna will become happy in exchange. If we try to decorate Krishna, we become beautiful, as when we decorate our real face, the reflection of our face in the mirror becomes beautiful. So we should try to give something to Krishna. Krishna is always happy, for he is Atmaram, fully satisfied with his own opulence. And the comment of Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur in this text. The fruit seller did not even get a full handful of grains because the grains fell on the path as Krishna hastily approached her. Krishna exchanged the few grains remaining in his hands for some fruits while saying, "Give me some fruit." The Palinda woman selling fruits became overwhelmed with affection, and filling Krishna's hands with pilu and other fruits. Being greedy for the fruits, Krishna somehow managed to hold them all in his small hands by the influence of his Aishwarya Shakti. In return, the Palinda woman received all kinds of wealth, including the treasure of Krishna Prema from Sri Krishna, who possesses the power to bestow all fruits. Okay, we'll stop here. And tomorrow we'll continue another pastime, another wonderful pastime, if Krishna allows us to do so. Thank you. Any questions or comments?
I don't know if you remember, but I was telling you one day how I read a slogan from how he was saying that Krishna destroys all species as far as presents. Do you remember the day when you read that slogan? Said I
would
only do the English?
Yes.
I remember the Sanskrit.
Why don't you say the English?
Okay.
Sanskrit.
Sri Krishna is he who is known as Jananivas, the ultimate resort of all the entities. He's also known as Deviki Nandan and Yashoda Nandan, the son of Deviki and Yashoda. He's the guide of the Adi dynasty, and with his mighty arms, he destroys everything inauspicious. He kills everything inauspicious, as well as every man who is impious. By his presence he destroys everything inauspicious for all living beings, moving and inert. His blissful smiling face increases the lusty desires of the gopis of Vrindavan. May he be all glorious and happy.
Sounds like by Rupa Goswami.
It's actually Gautam Tantra.
Oh, okay. You say. Now say the Sanskrit.
Jayati Janani Vasa.
Oh, yes.
Deviki Janavado. Yadubara Kumishat Svarito Bhirasyanam Param Sturacha Vijanakana Susmitashima Kena Rajapura Vinitanam Vadhaya Kamadeva.
Wonderful. That was wonderful. Could you say it again?
The Sanskrit?
Yeah.
Jayati Janani Vasa Devi Kijan Navado Yadubara Kumishat Svarito Bhirasyanam Param Sturacha Vijanakana Susmitashima Kena Rajapura Vinitanam Vadhaya Kamadeva.
Did you like to memorize that? Do you say that every day?
First thing when I wake up.
First thing?
Yeah.
In the English too?
Yeah.
Oh, nice. Nice habit. Thank you. Thank you very much. Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai, Sri Krishna's Gokul Lila ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Krishna is soon to leave Gokul, though. In this chapter, he will leave Gokul and go to Vrindavan, the forest of Vrindavan. Will you come to hear that? Thank you.